Gen Z is like, Omo, are you paying my bills or not?
Are you paying my bills or not?
Are you giving me coochie or not?
Are you giving me coochie or not? Like,
millennials don't suffer from mental illnesses.
Huh?
We can, you can, we don't. Huh? We don't. It's a Gen Z problem.
The mental problems Gen Z is coming from the millennials.
No.
The fact that they witnessed the history happened. You just read about it. And we all know how history is written. It's written by...
the victors.
You see it like, oh no, they are too old, they are too old. But at the same time, they are looking at it like, yes, I'm this way because I took the shit, so you don't have to.
Yeah. You don't have to.
So it doesn't even matter whether I'm right or wrong. Just revere me.
How about we start off with introductions? Real quick, just round the table. Real quick.
Okay.
I'll start from here.
Well, I am the man behind the camera.
The man behind the camera. He's on the mic today, guys.
Yeah,
it's KD himself.
You can call me KD.
The one and only Kevin Durant. Somebody boo this man. Boo.
Tomatoes. Yeah. Nah. So my name is King David. You can call me Grim by my gamer tag, or you can call me KD, like my real friends do call me.
Nice. Grim.
Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy.
I love it. Okay, and who do we have here?
I'm a new face. Hey, y'all. My name is Deb. That's what they call me. Yeah, this is my first podcast.
First podcast. Mm-hmm. Hi, Deb. Welcome to the JHG set. And
two men, Zeus.
Zeus in the Gozman. Building. Gozman.
Gozzy. You know, the guy that is part of the host and the guest at the same time.
The Gen Z hater.
No, really
Gen Z. Listen, we don't hate Gen Z.
I'm just calling you people out.
You know, we're just calling a spade.
Just calling a spade. It's not really hate. Actually, I'm actually impressed by you people.
Right.
Change is inevitable.
The fact that in this society, they've been able to find a way to be useful. Because trust me, when I see, I used to think that there was no room for Gen Z in the current society.
Yeah.
The fact that they were able to impose themselves.
Yeah. Like, they take charge.
I'm impressed by you people.
They are going straight for it.
Like, we don't even have that. We don't have that. What would I call it? The way they impose themselves. Millennials don't even have it. Nope. We're goal-oriented, you know, we're driven, but we don't have that.
You have to understand, like, a proper Gen Z right now, like, they know they can be making millions of dollars playing video games. Like, mm-hmm. they know. So they're ready to double down. Like, they're not necessarily interested in... you know, what you think, because they already know. They're plugged into networks, into channels where they know, like, I just need to grind long enough,
mm-hmm.
become a professional esports player,
yeah.
then I'm going to buy my mama a house.
Yeah, but if it doesn't
work,
if it doesn't work, they have plan Bs. I'll become a Twitch streamer.
You understand?
I start to stream, yeah. If that doesn't work, I might add some feet to my streaming, and I might just end up on OnlyFans after I've said and done. If this doesn't get... So they have a foolproof plan.
They are very grind-oriented.
They are very grind-oriented.
It's not all of us now.
No, I agree. It's not all of us, but the mass majority has like, I know that if I put in the work here, this is what I'm going to cash out. Like, I know that this is the angle. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. You know, and retire my parents.
Fortnite's at $4 million now. Yeah. The yearly tournament. Yeah. It's $4 million. Yeah. Exactly.
For M.
No, is that what you're planning?
They started from 2.
I'm too lazy for that.
Yo, Dota 2. I remember when they did the first Worlds, their championship. And it was a $2 million prize.
Yeah, $2 million.
I believe.
Damn. Yeah.
I think recently it went up to $15 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, and understand.
What about League of Legends now?
It ranges from first to I think sixth or something. It's just giving out money to these really young life, bro. There are 16-year-old people playing this.
Yeah.
You can't even talk to those guys. Yeah. You can't even talk to those guys. Like,
making serious money.
Yeah.
And from doing what? Well, imagine telling that to your father.
No.
Bruh.
See, wait, if you engineer, doctor, lawyer, listen.
You understand?
Yeah.
You understand?
Yes.
You know what?
And that's why I'm impressed by Gen Z's too. You see this whole thing that the baby boomers forced on millennials.
Yeah.
No, you have to. They broke out of it.
They
refused. They said they wouldn't. Yeah. They didn't agree.
They didn't agree. They said, nah, we're not doing that shit.
That's why I feel like I'm not fully millennial myself. Mm-hmm. That's why I feel, yeah, because I feel I have that, like, a little bit of Gen Z in me.
Yeah, the rebelliousness.
I remember in 2018.
No, there are different types of millennials now. So, like, you have millennials that in the, you have the 80s millennials. So, you have the millennials that from the 1800s to around 88, thereabout. Those are the real millennials. Those ones have the most traits from the previous generation. And then from like 88 down to like 94, 93, 95. Those are like the transition.
That is the transition generation.
That's why I fall under. That's why I fall under.
That's the last of us.
Oh, you're on the edge.
Do you understand? That's the last of us.
No, you're 99. You're 99. You're Gen Z. You're early Gen Z. So you are
very early.
You're early Gen Z. So the benefit, the good thing about early Gen Z is they grew up with millennials. So they saw the way we reacted to the baby boomers, mm-hmm. and they picked up on some of those things. Mm-hmm. The way, because when you are young, you learn from your big brother, your big sister. Mm-hmm. So a lot of early Gen Zs had big brothers, big sisters that were millennials, mm-hmm. and they learned from them. So they picked up on those traits. It's the late Gen Zs that you have to be worried about.
Yep.
Yeah, the late Gen Zs, the 2000s, the 2005, 2008, 2001, you gotta be worried about.
These
guys can do anything, literally, because that is what it's like. And I like the program. It's not like the message wasn't bad. Yeah. Like this whole idea of you can be or do whatever you want. Right, people have literally won elections based on this, right? It's not like we weren't aware that this is the programming we were pushing out. Look at what we've created. We've created an entire generation that do believe they can do whatever they want, right? You know, so, which is exciting for me. Honestly, it makes life more interesting. You can just wake up. Look at the headlines we're getting. You just wake up and some new trend, some new black hole on Twitter just opened up because of one guy's tweets. Look at what we're doing with things like NFTs. Like the way they are taking these concepts and evolving them to, I mean, it is exciting. It is exciting. Maybe not what the old heads, you know, would like, but you are the guys who told us you can be or do whatever. This is what it looks like. This is what it looks like.
Oh my God. So I think I was trying to tell you something because I remember in 2018, I was in the US then, you know, I was staying with my uncle and, you know, when I left Nigeria, you know, I felt because I recently left the current university I was going to. Shout out Covenant University.
Shout out.
Yep. So I just left Covenant University and my parents were like, you know what? You need to leave the country, go stay with your uncle, you know, and set up your life there. And I moved and got there. And I don't know, the first thing that came to my mind was like, I'm in a place that I can make some big bucks. And next thing I came to my house, like, you know what? I play games. I want to be a Twitch, you know, streamer.
Twitch streamer.
I have been given the platform, you know. And I outrightly told my uncle, I was like, I want to stream. Do you know that this man, like, you know
your
what
uncle,
they say?
Your uncle that is...
Who will pay for your internet?
Your uncle is a...
You want to stream in my house. It will never happen.
The hell is that?
is a Gen X or...
Yes.
Or, okay.
Yes, he's a Gen X. So, you know, because I felt like, okay, he has lived in the U.S. most of his life. He went there when he was a teenager and, you know, he joined the U.S. Army and, you know, and everything and whatnot. And I'm just like, you know... He's asking me, okay, like, what are the opportunities you want? And I was like, you know what? I want to be a Twitch streamer because I play games, you know, I'm really into gaming and everything. And he was just listening to me. You know when they say they build you up and they smash you to the very ground? Exactly. So, do you know what this man did? He said, you know what? Okay, you want to be a Twitch streamer. Go and write me a 7-page essay on streamers. How much they make, everything, all the pros. And you know what? I was so... When I say that... That's why I say I feel like some of the Gen Z abilities fell on me because, like, it felt like, okay, you know, I'm about to take on this grind. You know, I need to put in the work. So I went and I wrote that 7-page essay because I really wanted to do this shit. Like, it was, you know, because when I was in uni then, me and my crew, my guys, we like, oh, when we finish, we'll get a gaming house, you know, because we're like serious gamers. You know, COD, FIFA, all the Tom Clancy Division. We used to play all those games. So we're looking at, okay, and we played League of Legends too.
What's
which country was this? Which country was this?
League of Legends. Nigeria.
Yeah, see, exactly. The problem is that knowing what you know now, you can, like, forget the fact that your uncle wasn't on the same page with you. Nigeria would have fucked with you.
while trying to achieve this thing you wanted to achieve.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Thank you. No, we knew all these issues. But you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, when I left, you know, it's like,
oh, wow.
Now I have the platform.
Now you have the platform. Now I have, so
I can now do this thing, you know, with every seriousness in my bone. So that's when he told me to do that 7-page
essay. After he did it.
I did it. I gave it to him. He read it. He was like, okay, wow, this guy is
serious.
You know,
he knows what he's talking about.
And you know, my uncle is like a military man, so he was a little bit strict, you know, and you know, gaming. I mean, he plays games too, you know.
That's the height of our seriousness.
You know,
let's be frank. Like, you know, he plays games, does not mean he doesn't still look at it as the height of our seriousness.
But he and his wife are veterans, you know. So you know, like most of these veterans, you don't play Call of Duty. That's the only game you see in the house. You know, he has played games, you understand? But like at this point in time, he's like, for him is like a waste of time. But me, I thought that he was on board with me. I was like, yeah, you know, like this guy is on his shit. And I was like trying to show him that I was serious. And on the day I turned on my PlayStation, that was the last time I saw that PlayStation. That was the last time I saw that PlayStation. He came into the room and I was doing a test stream, because then I was like fully invested in Discord. So I linked up communities, like community of streamers, you know, asking them questions, learning, you know, trying to know. Yeah, I did all that. I wanted to know how they get, you know, followers and subscriptions and all that. You know, I really wanted to do this shit, you know. So I had made friends, older people, older streamers. I knew them, white people self, not even Nigerian, like white people, Asian people. So there was this particular Asian girl too, like, you know, she was even the one assisting me and this thing. She was on the call, like we were on a Discord call together. When my uncle walked in, that time I was testing Tom Clancy Division, because it was like one of my favorite games at the time, you know, and she also used to play, like, also on our, one of my favorites, like my number one, Warframe, you know, so exactly. So she plays Warframe, so that's why we're kind of closely connected. So I was like, yeah, you know, so we're testing out Tom Clancy on my PlayStation, because you could actually do Twitch streaming from PlayStation, like directly. Then I didn't have like a PC, you understand, so I was using my PlayStation 4 and everything. So, you know, as I was testing the team now, that's how my uncle just bam, 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 entered. He looked at me, I was like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, uncle, like, you know, you said, you know, like basically he had given me the permission. So I was like, oh, I'm testing out my stream. And I said, okay. So it's as if, I don't know whether he was trying to play dumb or he didn't really understand what I was doing. You understand? So he was like, okay, where's the stream? I'm like, I'm live right now. Like, because the thing about PlayStation is that when you want to start the stream, the game has to be running in the background. And when you start, that's when it's not like PC that you have to set up your OBS and all those things. So the game was already live. This girl was in the call with me. And, you know, my uncle goes full on blast. Like, what the fuck are you doing? You understand? You say you are streaming, but you're playing a game. You're playing a game. I'm like, but this that, is what I am is, streaming.
That is what it is.
He was like, you know what? You're not fucking serious. Turn off that shit and hand me the PlayStation. And this girl was literally there on the call, listening to my uncle go ham on me, you know, and some insults may have flown in here and there. Like, it was a very embarrassing moment for me. I was like, I don't understand. You told me to write 7 pages. I thought, like, we've agreed. And this is because he was like, at some point during the negotiations, we were like, okay, you contribute, like, when you start making money of this thing, that you contribute to, you basically like contribute to the internet bill,
the internet,
all those things, because you'll be making use of that. Because he was like, oh, he told me that he will facilitate it. I was like, okay, yeah, sure, no problem, you know, and this thing. And I'm having a test stream. Five people were actually on that stream viewing my shit at the moment. Five people that I didn't even know. I just came on and this thing, and my uncle was going, I couldn't even move. You know, that kind of thing, like they're giving you the business. Imagine I'm still, you know, slap for the enter.
Yes, man.
You understand? So he just comes, he rips up the PlayStation, disconnects everything and this thing. And the girl was just like telling me sorry over the phone, like, you know, trying to sympathize with me, like, that's fucked up, you know, and everything. And I was just like, bro, like, tears started falling out of my eyes. Like, why did I just feel like this thing could work, you know? And forgetting that my uncle is still Nigerian, regardless of when he came to the US, you know, it was still him that, okay, this nonsense you are doing, you know, like, what the fuck, you know? Because they were expecting the money. You know that they were expecting the money to start rolling in?
Immediately.
Immediately. I was like, no, I have to make affiliates.
I'm dead.
Everything was in the 7-page essay I wrote about, like, so... I was like, yeah, man, like, it was a very funny experience for me, so...
Yeah, no, I mean, but I think that is... well, first off, I'm sorry you had to go through that. But it is part of the I say those traumatic moments that make Nigerians as resilient.
At least you're with the PS4, who been buying for you?
Omo, let me buy.
Now you buy by yourself.
And you know that that PlayStation is still with
you. Yes, you bought that PS4 by yourself. Now, so you for start this Twitch streaming by yourself. You know, for involve anybody.
We've said it though. Like, said it
at least your own. They came after my own. Now, when they won by the PS, that's when I knew that this gaming thing. I have to hide it for my entire
my entire family.
I knew. I was like, no. I have to. Like when I told my dad that I did it, the first time I told my dad I did it, a console. He couldn't believe that I made that request.
What are you?
He couldn't. He thought he had failed as a parent.
So what did he just?
I'm not even fucking with you. He thought he had failed as a parent. The father that asked him to buy me a PlayStation.
What did he just request, out of everything useful
in the world.
In the world,
that you could ask
in the
me
entire
for.
World.
You're supposed to be reading your book.
Do you understand? The thing you asked me for is the PlayStation. As in, like, he failed. I could see it in his face. He's like, my child is useless. He has.
My child is useless.
Bro, do you understand? Like, do you not understand it? And in fact, is that setting is still. Do you know that even when I was leaving the US, he refused to release that PlayStation. That PlayStation is still in the house. That PlayStation is still in his house. With the controller, all the plates I bought, everything is still there.
Well,
he did not let me take it.
Sorry about that.
Till now.
I'm sorry about that. Deb, do you have any similar stories? Or did they just allow you to do whatever?
No,
Deb is Gen Z. She's fine. She's Gen Z.
I was beating into submission.
You were beating into submission?
Yeah. Were you put in the box?
Yeah, that was your early Gen Z.
That was the only way I could survive.
She's
so,
early Gen Z. She's early Gen Z.
I had to... I mean, I was able to fight for my siblings. I couldn't allow them that happen to them.
First child.
And you know, that's what I keep saying about having elder siblings, right? They protect you from so much. They shield you from so much.
A lot of it.
Yes, no.
Now my sister is out there being on social because of me.
Yes, I hope she knows that.
The house was a battle. Like I could. That's why I'm like this. I don't socialize. My mom said, where do you think you're going? Write me a letter. I don't want to know where you're going to. Blah, 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 blah. Why can't they come to your house? Can they come?
Like, as if coming to your house is also allowed. It wasn't allowed.
I just had to take, when it was happening to my sister, I was like, hell no. My sister cannot go through this. Because like, my sister is having issues.
Like, so oh, you were like covering up for her. So when she goes out, you tell your mom you sent her somewhere.
I'm calling my phone. I'm picking up my phone. I'm like, mom, what are you trying to say? You're not letting these girls go out. No. You can't do that. Because once you start making money, I feel that things change.
You now have a voice. That's how it is in Nigerian family. Once you start earning, then you can now speak.
My brother is asking for a PS5. And I said, make sure you talk to your... Like, I'm like a parent now. So once you start making money... They can't really tell you anything. That's the only way to escape. Nope. Start making money.
Or having some change. Or get married.
Yeah, that's another way to get married.
That's another one. You know, before it's like, you're just available to everybody. You don't have a choice. But now it's like, when they call me like, Kinibi, what are you doing? Are you busy? You know, are you this? Because like, no, I don't call them for shit. I don't listen. You know, I'm making my own money. No matter how small it is. Like, I'm doing shit for myself. So they can't really, like, pull me out of, like, can you come to the house now? You should come to the... No.
You don't even call us. So now, wow, what are you even doing? Once you start making
money,
also,
start living by this.
That show. Nonsense is over. Mm. So that's the only bit. But it took a lot. I had to take a lot of that for my siblings. Now they are fine. They are enjoying themselves. But I'm scared. I have my...
But again, that's what makes you more resilient.
Not really, actually. It kind of like messes you up. Like, for example, in the workplace, I still have that box mentality. I can't speak up for myself in most situations.
You're respectful of your elders and all of that. It's messed up.
You're supposed to speak up for yourself in some situations, but because of that,
you see how because of all the everything you took for your siblings, you see how as you shoulder them from everything,
like
unknowingly you wouldn't know, but there's this unconditional respect you demand from them without even saying it, because you feel like they are what they are today because of what you shouldered them.
No,
from.
Not really.
What I'm saying is that it's there. You just don't know it's there.
If you did tell your sister, you have a younger sister, right? If you did tell her something, to do something specifically, and she went against your word, right, it will hurt you. It will hurt you. It's like,
yes,
babe, I specifically told you not to go to that dude's house or not to. Like, I've seen it. I was trying to save you. Who else would tell you the raw truth if it's not me? And you just went.
And you just
so
went
it will
and
hurt
you,
right?
So, that's how they see it. That's how they see it. That's how they see it. Even though you see it like, oh no, they are too old, they are too old. But at the same time, they are looking at it like, yes, I'm this way because I took the shit, so you don't have to.
You don't have to.
So it doesn't even matter whether I'm right or wrong. Just revere me. Yeah. You understand? Kind of
I'm trying to be in their lives, so like, I can't do that.
I know. I'm not saying that. I'm using that word to show you how deep it runs inside them. You know, but they also know. So what they want you to do is obey before. This is why the military finds a way to simplify it. Obey before command. So they're like, just obey first. When you obey first, I'm satisfied. Come and talk about the problems.
Yes. But make sure the order is executed.
The order is executed first.
And that's what I've noticed about, you know, Gen X. That's the way they think. I have another uncle that, you know, let me say he calls you to perform a certain task, right? Normally, he's supposed to relay all the information you need to complete that task. But you know what? In his own setting, in his own mind, he's like, no, instead of me telling you, you are supposed to ask.
Yes,
you are supposed to, you know, come and ask me that, okay, is this the way this thing is supposed to be? And this is not assuming that I've given you the complete information. And sometimes I just sit back and like, I don't understand it. You want me to help you, but you're not giving me the full detail to how I can help you. Instead, when I talk to you, when I've not given you the satisfaction of what, you know, you were expecting, you turn it around. It's like, you know, professional gaslighting. And you now, you know, make it seem like I'm incompetent. Or I am not, what's that thing, taking the initiative. That's a very popular word with Gen X that I've noticed.
You guys don't take initiative.
Exactly. You don't, this thing. But meanwhile, you are the one giving me the tax. So you are the one giving me the tax. It's not a solution. It's not something I walked into. You called me and you say you need my help to do something. You do not relay the complete information. You don't tell me that, oh, this is how it's supposed to be. Okay, when you get to that road, just know that there's a pothole there. Don't put your leg, you know, you might not see it, but don't put your leg. You just say, go, the road is safe. Then I run into the pothole. You're supposed to know now.
Exactly. That's what you're supposed to know.
That, why can't you think? You people only stay on your phone, this thing, but you people don't this thing. I'm like,
what I finally figured out is, look, they can do without us, the Gen X. They can do without us. I'm serious. Like, they really don't. They really don't. So, when they decide to engage you in a task, there's a purpose for what they're doing. Sometimes it's geared at you failing, or they just want you to gain an experience from this.
Yeah,
you understand? But in order for, they don't know how to do this without making it condescending. They don't know how to teach you without like, you know, making it look very, that's the only way they know how to, because that's how they were raised. Yep. You understand? They believe that if you have a bad experience and I call you out on your bad experience and I do it that way, you'll stick. You'll stick. This whole insult, I've insulted you now. You will never forget it.
There has to be trauma.
And not forgetting this insult also is tantamount to not forgetting the experience.
The lesson is tied.
Yeah, because I figured out this. Trust me, listen, I figured it out. My dad will send me sometimes and be like, I have somebody that is coming to the house.
Yeah.
We're in an estate. The person doesn't know our block. Go to the gate and wait for the person.
Mm-hmm.
You need to understand what I'm talking about here. There's no time to when this person is coming. You understand? Like, he's trying to gauge your sense. He wants to see. He's like, I have somebody that is coming.
It's a puzzle.
The person is coming today.
Yeah.
You understand? So go and wait for the person at the gate.
Yes.
Do you understand? And he's looking at you. The first test he's asking you there is he's expecting you to ask
what time
is this person coming? Mm-hmm. If you don't ask that one, he already knows you're an idiot. Like, he already knows. Like, if you just start to go, he has concluded that that child is an idiot. Sense. Like, say, let me focus on another child. That's it. Like,
say, what? That one failed.
That one failed.
On to the next.
So if you ask, but when is this person coming? He's like, okay, you have some sense. At least you understand the concept of time.
Yeah.
He will now not tell you exactly when the person comes. He'll give you a range. He'll be like, he says he's coming around 4.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. He won't give you the exact time. And the reason he won't give you the exact time is the test now is he wants to see if you'll be there right on time when the person comes.
Yep.
You understand? So he just gives you a vague time. Maybe 3, 4. He doesn't really know. You understand? And he's like, so, you know, that's what you need to do. That's now you pass the first step. The second step now is he's looking at you. He's wondering, when are you going to take action on this thing I've told you? Like, He's trying to study. I mean, it's just your house here now. Mm-hmm. You understand? So he's looking at it like, are you going to go immediately? You understand? Is he going to go inside and change? He's just studying your movement after a while. You understand? He's not expecting you to just leave immediately too.
Yeah.
Because he's giving you a time.
Yeah.
You understand? He's expecting that, okay, let him see what you're going to do. So what happens is during the course of that, he would watch you. He would go inside, go and do something else. Then he'll come out back to check on you. Mm-hmm. He'll not be like, ah, you're still here. Let that person not miss his way.
Yeah.
He has hinted you that, look, oh, he doesn't know how you plan to
do it,
tackle this task. But the goal is that that person must not miss his way.
Mm-hmm.
That person that is coming must not miss his way. You understand? After a while, you leave the house. You go out there. He's not seeing. When he comes and he doesn't see you, he knows you've gone. Now, he obviously knows that he doesn't know when this person is coming. You understand? At some point in time, he's expecting you to come back. He's like, after you stay there, you should have small sense. So it's step by step. You understand? They're trying to gauge how smart you are, mm-hmm, and how you will tackle tasks. Do you understand? So, yep. I talked, the guy got to a point when I was doing my dad. I asked him, he was like, just go and wait for him. Like, I don't. He just told, that's, when I tried to, because he'd been doing this to me a lot. I was like, he was like, just go and wait for him. Just figure it out.
Yeah.
Do you understand? And how you would, bruh. Eventually, I came to the house. This person was inside the house. Like, the person knew the house. The person knew everything. I didn't even know when the person passed the gate.
Psych.
He drove in. Like, when I came, they just started joking about it. Now, were you waiting for him at the gate? Tom started laughing at me.
I failed this test already.
Bro, do you understand? Tom started laughing at me. When I came back, I was like, I didn't see this person, though. Like, I waited. Guys, he laughed.
See,
he laughed, bro.
It's always a plot. Like, I've just... It's always a freaking plot. And the funny thing is that my problem is that instead of them... Sometimes I feel like the way Gen X operates is very sad, because instead of them to actually carry you along, sometimes they just make you feel like you're one idiot.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm telling you the gospel truth. Sometimes they make you feel like you're one stupid person that doesn't have sense. And I'm like, I'm the young one here. You're supposed to be teaching me, or, you know, letting me know the steps to these things. Instead, you are putting puzzles for me, and when I fail, instead of you to like tell me that, yeah, you know, failure is part of the process, you now make it seem like, you know, no,
what are you talking about?
What the fuck are you doing?
Cash crews on top of your head.
You see, understand?
Look, you need to see, I don't think you see, they grew up in boarding. You know what boarding house was during their time now?
Bro,
this seniority thing is not a joke.
It's
like,
a joke.
You understand? As in, like, after they ridiculed you, understand, they are watching how you take the ridicule.
Mm-hmm.
It's everything is a plan for them. Mm-hmm. As they are laughing at you, they expect you to just accept it. You understand? When they see that, and they'll be looking at you, they can tell when you've accepted the fact that, you know, you've been ridiculed. When they see that you've accepted your fate, they will now call you like, come say next time, you know, instead of just going there, you know, this is how you. They'll now tell you stuff. Trust me, even if you did that, they won't have still answered. You would have still been the wrong answer, because they need to get you to this point where they can force you to learn.
Yep.
Do you understand? So one thing I finally just understood is that they don't really need you. Mm-hmm. Most of the times when they want to engage you in anything, it's just because that's their own way of showing affection. You know how you just stay now and check up on your guys, check up on your kids. They don't know how to do that. What they do is that they find something for you to do. It's unimportant.
Yeah.
Whether you succeed at it or you don't succeed at it, it's not necessary.
That's the only way they'll reach out to you.
That's the only way. So their own is just, so then I'll make fun of him, and then when we come, we'll bond over it. He will now understand that I'm more smarter than him. I'm a senior. You know, and then this reverence,
they expect
and respect
all
to
the communication to come from you. Yes. And there's one thing I have. I've always had a problem with that. But at some point, I just have to like accept and understand, because I remember when, especially my dad, he's very big on calling. You know, it's like, you don't call. You know, you don't reach out.
Ah.
Same thing. Okay, like I think about a month ago, because my brother is in Lagos, you know, and my little brother, you know, he's a strong introvert. He doesn't really socialize, you know, maybe except for people that are his actual friends. You know, he doesn't really sound like me. Yeah, he doesn't reach out to the family. To the...
Oh, yeah.
Are you sure about that? I don't think so.
This is, I'm trying to break out of my shell.
Okay.
I'm trying to break out of my shell. It's killing me.
What do you mean by that?
As in,
what do you mean?
He doesn't reach out to the family group chat. You know,
he doesn't even
reach out to the family just once. Maybe if someone is celebrating birthday and everything. So, because all these experiences, you know, I went through it. You know, I went through it the hard way. You know, I understand how you have to just give respect, whether you're getting it or not, or how not to talk back, even if you're in the right. All those things that we went through growing up and everything, you know, but for him is like different. And that way, you know, through like other experiences I had, you know, I found like a common ground on how to keep my relationship with, you know, my mom's brothers, my dad's brothers, and, you know, whatnot. So it's easier for me to always reach out to them to ask for help. What if I needed help, you know, financially? Like, I was like, Uncle Abeg, I need like 200K. Yeah. I want to do something, yeah. You know. And they're like, it's King David. He has gone through our bullshit without complaining. He has never opposed us, you know. Even if when we shout at him, whether he's in the wrong or whatnot, you know, he can always, he always comes back. He always calls us, you know. So yes, I'll give him a listening ear and help him out, that kind of thing. So my brother is a music producer. You know, he produces music and whatnot. So he moved to Lagos so that, you know, he can find his bearings there. So he wanted to like expand his reach, you know, doing content creation, like shooting music videos and whatnot. And he wanted to get a camera, right? Wanted to get a camera. So he reached out, or basically he reached out to me and was like, Omo, I want to get a camera. Like, I'm saving up some money. I just need like a loan of probably 2 million or something. So I was like, okay, no problem now. You know, your mom, your dad, and your uncles and everything and whatnot. So this boy went and dropped a whole epistle of how his career is going well and everything, and asked for a loan in the group chat.
That he doesn't matter.
Don't know you. That's what they were waiting for. They were waiting for the day you would come with that.
The way he
and
was,
they were going to finally address your issue.
He was Ed. When I say he was Ed, like, it's as if nobody sent the message. It's like nobody sent a message. You know, and I saw it too. And me too, I didn't say anything. I just kept quiet, you know. And I was just laughing. I was saying, God, this boy doesn't know anything.
He doesn't know anything. What are you talking about?
Then my mom called me.
She's like,
Did you see your brother's message? You know, me and my mom are just in partners. So we just started laughing simultaneously. I was like, you know. So my mom was now giving me gist. I was like, Omo, there's another group chat. I was like, eh?
They made another group chat because of him.
No. That group chat has been there, but I think the group chat was like for the younger, you know, siblings, like the younger cousins and this thing. So I think my brother and my other younger cousins are in that group chat and everything, you know. And my mom was like, oh, like your uncles and, you know, were in that group chat. And they came to her to complain about the message my brother sent. You know, they're like, this your son is funny, yo. You know, that he doesn't call us, he doesn't talk to us, you know, he doesn't, you know, communicate with anybody, you know, he has not reached out, we don't hear from him, nothing. And he think he can just come and start requesting for a loan and we'll just bring our money and give him, and the boy no get sense, so this is that. And me, I was laughing, then I started using me as example. I said, but look at King David. You know, even when King David had issue with all, because I've had issues with all my uncle, like serious issues, you know, we fought, like serious fights. But, you know, I never let it get to me because I just understood that programming that, regardless of what goes down, you know, yes, my uncles, I'm still going to give them the respect, you know, I'm still going to show up for them, you know, because they're family and all those things, they need me to do something, you know, if I'm available, I'll do it. You understand? So they were like, you know, I'm like, King David, even when, you know, we have issues with him and this thing, even this thing, he can boldly come and ask me for money and I won't be surprised. I won't question him. I was like, okay, look for a way to help him because, you know, he has been through that training. You know, he has been through the degrading, everything that will fucked him up.
That's how you gain rep. You have to gain rep by being
like,
by
you
being,
have to stay there and eat that shit. You understand? So in my mind, I was like, you know what? You know, I'm like, like I had to understand the system because, you know, I remember what I said. I said, I feel like some Gen Z abilities fell on me because sometimes I used to question, why do these people always need me to call them? Why can't nobody call me and ask me how I'm doing?
Because they look at themselves. They look at themselves as the provider.
Exactly.
So they're like, look, you understand? It's obvious. They're like, So here's how it starts. When you stop calling them, all of a sudden they start to feel less useful. No, they start to feel like they don't have use to you anymore. You know, me being there, you calling me to ask me for money, assistance, advice, it makes me feel relevant.
Yeah.
You understand?
But if you don't.
You understand? So if you don't, I start to feel irrelevant.
So that's why
they are big on you reaching out to them because it makes them feel useful.
Yep.
You understand? And that's why when they now don't know what to do, they just throw a task at you. Say, I was thinking of doing something. Do you think you can, you know, you young people, do you think that thing is not important to them? That's their own way of just reaching out to you.
Never happened to me. My
parents tried to avoid that. They didn't. I don't know my extended family, so they, because they didn't want this kind.
So your people, your parents. No, even your parents. So your parents have never done it to you. Send you on the tax that at the end of the day, when you finished it, you kind of looked at the task and was like, was this really important?
Yeah, they didn't do that. I mean, they had their thing, but they didn't really. They were not.
I don't
that
know.
Crazy.
I feel like it's different for women, though.
Actually, it's different for women. Yeah.
It's different for.
I think for guys, they're just trying to test your ability to execute tasks and do shit as a man. No. They want to know how you can respond to instructions.
It's a test throughout. It's a test. Like they will never give anything to you directly.
They want to just know.
They just want to know.
Like, are you capable?
You understand?
Yeah.
So because my brother never went through all that. You understand? And he just kept himself secluded, thinking that, you know, and I even called him. I was like, oh my boy, what do they do now? You know, I said, even if you wanted to send a message, is it not better for you to call at least one of them? You know, like privately.
Gen Z behavior.
You dropped it.
See that thing. See that thing he did. Typical Gen Z behavior.
Yes, now. It, like, it was the confidence for me.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's Gen Z behavior. Like, as a millennial, you know, your mind doesn't feel like
process,
you do that.
Due process. Due process.
Like,
there are processes.
You can see the problem wrong with doing that as a millennial. This thing your brother did. You know immediately before you post that text, what am I doing? This day I will be ended if I try this. You know.
But it's you understand? Threat detection.
Threat detection, zero. Like, Gen Z's have zero threat detection. Like,
you understand?
What is about me?
Like, it's a freaking skill.
But for them, they're just like,
detection, bro.
And you know the funny thing? even another cousin, almost the same age as my brother, you know, and this thing. This one, it wasn't even him. It was his mom. That's my mom's sister. Because my mom is the first, so my mom's immediate sister, she came to the group chat, you know, to basically tell them that, oh, like, because of her husband, there's a tradition they have in their village that, okay, there's, you know, this process where the boy becomes a man, that kind of thing. So their family is supposed to show up for the person, like, he should be the best dressed at the traditional meeting and everything, like, into his transition from a boy to a man, that kind of thing. So she came to drop the message and, you know, hoping to get the support of this thing in that same group chat. That other group chat too, that I am not aware of. You know, they still table that matter. Okay, you brought this thing about your son and whatnot. But your son has no relationship with his siblings, his cousins. You know, he has never come to stay in our house.
Yes, now.
He has not done anything for us. He has not done houseboy. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have not done houseboy. Like, you have not come to kiss the shoe of the elders.
Appease the kings.
Exactly. You've not come to appease the kings. And you think you are ready to cough out money so that he can go and shine among his peers. No, no, my love. It doesn't work like that. It
doesn't work like that.
These are your brothers. It's not anybody else. These are your siblings that are telling you.
Honestly, I think KD, you actually put it in a very beautiful way. You know what I would say though is there's a way, like those tasks you mentioned, right? I think it's more about seeing your thought process.
Yeah,
like,
they want to see how you think.
How do you? I just need to know. You know, there are a lot of things, you know, life is going to throw at you, right? Mm-hmm. But every single point, they probably throw in a test or, you know, some activity for you to do. Yeah. Just to see how you, your reasoning.
Yeah.
How would you go about this? Like, that's all I need to know. Like, the other parts about what you're doing, those aren't important.
That's important.
It's just how you reason. How would you tackle a problem? And it's not a mathematical problem. A real life problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, let's say, you know, you get a flat tire in the middle of nowhere and your phone dies. How do you tackle that problem? As a parent or a guardian, I'm more interested in knowing how you're going to tackle that problem than, you know, whether you know how to do differential equations. Because I know what's important in life. Like, school is not going to teach you like how to survive, right? You understand? It's my job to teach you how to survive. School is going to teach you the rest, right? You understand? But at every point, I need to check and make sure that, okay, this guy, he can survive. He can actually survive without me.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's kind of...
That's why millennials are hard-boiled now.
Yep.
That's why millennials are hard-boiled.
Do you know that?
Like, no matter what, we millennials don't suffer from mental illnesses.
Huh?
We don't. It's a Gen Z problem.
The mental problems are coming from the millennials.
No. You people are guilty.
Gen Z's.
Let me explain.
We are the ones that we.
we love therapy.
You love therapy.
Yeah, confrontational. No, actually, we had a lot of bottled up.
Listen to what I said. Listen to what I said.
Okay.
We don't suffer from mental illnesses. Yeah. We don't. Like, Gen Z's wake up believing that they have a mental illness.
Instagram told you as a millennial
that was raised by a baby boy, you can't come and tell your father that you have mental, you mad.
Yeah,
it's like, no.
You can't decide that
there's actually a problem. Fix it, bro.
Actually, I can't imagine telling any of my guardians. Can
tell us that, sir, you know, I have this.
It's only malaria.
Malaria. Is it malaria that's worrying you?
But that's a typhoid problem. Now,
if it's outside of these,
it's why millennials have issues.
Because only malaria and typhoid were allowed to.
Because they can't talk about, you know, that they have mental problems.
Remember what I said.
She does have a point.
Remember what I said. I didn't say that we don't have things that we're dealing with. We don't associate it with mental disorder. We tell you, look, there are some issues we're going through now, and we're trying to work through it. We'll sort it out.
Yeah.
But we're not going to just tell you that, I'm this, I'm that, I have this illness.
Yeah.
Like, this is worrying me. I can't know. We don't do that.
Yeah.
We don't.
Do you know what?
The only time we're sick is when we have malaria or typhoid.
Before I
never have any other illness.
Before I discovered that I actually had ADHD, do you know that I didn't even know what that was?
What that was?
When I was in secondary school, I just thought that I was outrightly stupid. You don't understand. I was taking second to the last or the last in class. I just thought I was stupid. I just thought I was dumb. It was when I got to the US. You know, that's when all this is coming out. I got to the US. They're like, you know what? Let's just diagnose you to check something. I was like, you have ADHD.
Oh,
they told me I had to go for diagnosis. They had to tell me that you have this problem.
Mm.
You know, then I started connecting the dots. That's why I say, I feel like some part of Gen Z fell on me, you know, because I started connecting the dots. Like, is this why I couldn't read my books? Mm. Yeah, I just thought I was stupid. I'm not even joking. I just thought I was dumb as fuck. Yeah.
Oh no, a lot of people have ADHD now.
You know what I'm saying?
My sis called me last month. She was like, have you heard of this thing called ADHD? I'm like, yes now, since she's not like, oh my goodness, do you know that I have it? I said, no, we all have it in our family. We all got it from our dad. She's like, what? I'm like, well, you're just figuring out now that you have ADHD.
Oh my God.
Yes.
After graduating uni. That's when you discover
that. I'm like, we all have it now. She's like, what? I said, well, we got it from our dad. Yes, we all have it. I have it. Your last one has it. Our other brother has it. So yes, now why do you think Emeka can't focus on doing anything? It's ADHD.
Exactly.
It's all part of the problem. I have it too.
I thought I was stupid. I conditioned myself.
I discovered my own early on. I knew that I had 30 minutes. Like when I want to read for an exam, I knew I had 30 minutes. Anything more than 30 minutes and they don't bother. Nothing is entering my head anymore.
Now you see the difference.
Don't bother.
Then when I couldn't read, I just accepted it. You don't understand. Like, I didn't even think that there was anything wrong with me. I just said, okay, it's like I'm destined to be dumb. Like, I've tried. It's not working. Let me just, you know, I never even thought I could make it through university. I'm not even joking.
Like, what?
I am not even playing with you.
No.
It was bad.
No, here's what I would say. Anime. And that's why I think I resonate with anime so much.
Yeah.
When you hear stuff like like you realize this thing doesn't matter. It's like, okay, this is just the hurdle I have to jump through.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, that's if you have that anime mindset, this is just something you have to overcome.
That's how millennials are.
And that's how
a millennial would not look at me being bipolar as a disorder.
It's
like,
it's just a challenge. I just have to make sure,
and then we move on. Yeah. We don't identify with any mental illness. We don't. Yep. You can tell us that this is how we are, but we're not going to accept and identify as that.
Yeah.
Okay. We're like, this is just one of my obstacles.
Okay, so I'm doing this, so I just do this.
Yeah, that's how we tackle it.
And I'll be fine.
Gen Z
right?
would accept that they have this disorder. Mm-hmm. And say, because I have this disorder, I already can't do this. And it will never happen.
Yep.
And they accept it, they wear it on their skin and they move around like that. When people ask them, should they tell you, this is how I am. I have this problem.
Spoken like a true millennial.
No, the truth is that, do you know why I agree with her?
Mm.
Because the truth is that, the funny thing is that, let's not even just put it all on Gen Z. Mm. Millennials are actually one that brought to light most of these things.
Why the ones that diagnosed the Gen Z?
You understand? They are just capitalizing on it.
Yes, but we diagnosed them. We created the medication.
We created the medication.
medication to treat it. As in, like,
wait. There's a generation of people that don't believe these new diseases exist.
Exactly.
We need to sell them pills. Sell them pills. Let's go.
I still say that at the end of the day, there's a reason why millennials are dragging with the Gen Z. It's because everything we invented, they are almost kind of like taking over and corrupting it in some way. Now, not corrupting it, like making it bad, but going contrary to what the main purpose we intended for it to be is.
The thing is
they are abusing
the power.
Yes,
like,
you
understand. I mean, it's like not? I'm stressed at work. Okay, yeah, you know what? I have an issue. I need to, you know, I need to be laid off because, you know, I have this issue.
Yeah.
Personal space, space.
You understand?
You're in my area.
There was literally a girl at work that was like, "Oh yeah, I can't take this anymore. I'm going on leave," and she was paid for it.
Did she send an email?
Nope. She just said, "Yeah, I'm out of here. You guys are gonna pay me."
Yeah,
and well, then so you guys are gonna pay you. But no. Maybe she hadn't taken her official leave, and she was no, like she could be within her rights to actually just go on leave, like
short term leave.
Mm-hmm.
And she was back within 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's 2 weeks. I'm just saying,
why not? Why not use it? It's there.
Oh yeah. Like, obviously they're exploiting the system. We're diagnosing them, and they're exploiting the system.
That's why.
Haven't you heard that millennial babes talk to the new degree for Gen Z babes? Say we'll drag these men. We'll continue to drag these men with you because it just seemed like the Gen Z people left their own men. But millennials are funny though. You are funny because they're upset that the Gen Z babes are coming to drag the millennial guys with them. You understand? So that's why they don't want to grieve.
Is that what's happening?
Yeah, that's what's happening. That's why the millennial babes don't want to grieve. That's why millennial people want to grieve for Gen Z babes now.
I don't see.
You understand? So like, they're dragging for them. You understand? Like, because... Yeah, only a millennial can really understand the millennial. So the women are the ones suffering from this. Guys, we understand Gen Z. Like, we see them. It's a spectacle when we see them. We're like, wow, is this how you girls behave now? It's intriguing to us. It's intriguing. This is a new discovery. Okay. It's intriguing to us.
No, because we know that change too is inevitable.
we know that change is inevitable.
We're just curious. We're interested to see. Say, oh, wow, this is what's happening now.
This is what's happening now.
This is what's happening now.
So it's interesting for us. And... Because like I said, a man's value would always still come from his ability to provide, protect, and all of that. So we're still very, very appealing to the Gen Z. You understand? The millennials, the female millennials, they can't understand why these small girls are going to drag their way with them. But I'm like, but we're not your men now. Let's be real. Even though we're both millennials, go chase these baby boomers.
There are some of them that still like retain their feminine side that seems like a problem, you know, with the Gen Z babes. You know, they're like, okay, you know, you're not supposed to be doing this thing and whatnot. It's like, Omo, you can't really attack these babes for wanting to be feminine. You know, you can't really attack them for wanting to serve their husbands or do that thing because it's what they mostly grew up with. You know, that understanding that, Omo, when I finish this thing, I'm going to get a husband. I'm going to have kids. And this thing now, Gen Z babe, if you tell them, someone will tell you, I don't want to have kids. I feel like I don't need a man for anything. You know, I feel I can do stuff by myself and this thing. And what Gen Zs do now is like out of the normal, out of the regular and whatnot. But at the end of the day, that's why I say that change is constant. Then recycle hits. You know, you start seeing old ways repeating themselves. And
so, but what is there any recycling happening right now? Is there any old ways that are coming back?
Yeah. We're talking about some fashion trends that are coming back.
No, fashion is quite quick.
Circular.
It's quick. It's quick to cycle it. See, Gen Z is the corrupted fashion. See what they designed.
They're wearing rags. Like Gen Z.
Defend.
Go ahead.
What is your problem? Who broke your heart?
It's not what I love. Gen Z babes. What are you talking about? What I'm saying. Look, you need to understand. As like, I thrive in that crazy because I'm just like I'm looking at it. Like, look, if we're in a crazy world, then it's free for all.
It's literally free for all.
It's free for all.
If we're in a crazy world, it's free for all. So that accountability, all of those things go out the window. Responsibility and arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why dealing with Gen Z is just simpler. I'm like, like, why am I struggling to be accountable? They don't even know what it is.
Yep.
Oh my.
As in like, do you understand? As like, why am I bothering to be responsible? They don't understand the concept.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So it's much easier.
Okay, three against one.
It's much easier.
I'm not attacking the Gen Z.
I mean, when people diagnose your mental illnesses, then you can talk.
We know what we are. We see where we know what we are.
stay there we and I will stay are. Here. See, okay?
Look, we know what we are. Look, all I just said is we don't wear our mental illnesses on our skin.
Mm. Yeah.
And walk around with it.
I think this is just basically the differences between...
And use it as a reason to not be accountable, not be responsible, not be... We don't do that.
Yeah.
You understand? It's not an excuse for us. Gen Z is a legit excuse. I'm bipolar. That's the reason why I'm acting like a complete asshole.
Mm-hmm.
That's Gen Z for you.
Yeah, they will tell you that straight up.
Do you understand? As in, like, as a millennial, like, it sounds ridiculous for you to reason that way.
But bipolar people are assholes. Like, they can't control it. So I don't know.
And that's the thing. As a millennial, mm-hmm. go and try and tell your father that you're bipolar, because the beat you chop first.
Go clear the
bipolar come for your body. They mad. We knew not to attempt shit like that. As in, like, yeah. You become single polar.
Another funny thing, the highest they'll tell their friends is that, oh, this man speaking, get crazy for head.
Get crazy for head.
They just tell you straight up. They say, this boy, get crazy for head. Now, why would they beat him? That's what they will tell their friends. They won't say, oh, my son is bipolar.
Who
he's been diagnosed.
Who says single polar now?
Yeah. Is him.
What I'm using that.
Polar.
I'm using that.
Single polar.
Single polar.
Second polar will come up for your body.
Because it's crazy. They'll say like, no, this my son. No, he get crazy for head. Now, why would he? He's stubborn.
He's stubborn.
Sometimes
he
fight. We don't know why. Like, what's going on?
Why would he?
You know, next thing is like, Omo, he needs deliverance. We're taking him to church.
Take him to church.
Do you know how many kids have been taken to church because of mental illnesses? and they're like, no, there's a spirit.
There's a spirit.
There's something in
church. And the spirit has left your body. They don't burn you and me. You still, they act like that.
You understand?
See, that spirit has left you.
To be like, no, and this thing. And, you know, sometimes that's why sometimes I'm actually grateful for the changes, you know, because, like, at this point, you know, it's like a relearning process, you know, for each generation, you know, because even the millennials now, or let me say the Gen X, sometimes there are some of them are actually willing to, you know, to some of those changes. Like, you teach your parents, you know, mommy, like, this thing, we don't do it again. You know, like, now, you see how the state of Nigeria with politics and everything is like, people are voting because of tribalism. Also, are voting because the person has sense. You understand? We're trying to tell you that, oh, my mommy, daddy, Luko, you know, even in marriages, you know, you see tribal marriages, Igbos marrying Yorubas, or Igbos marrying Northerners, and it's happening, you understand? And it's like, and one thing I love about the newer generations is like, we're putting our foot down. You know, we're like, okay, daddy, mommy, we've been through your bullshit. We accepted it, we grew through it, but now it's like, I want to do my own thing. You know, you can't tell me that I can't be with this person because it's from here. You understand? I remember one time I was dating, like, I was trying to date one Igala girl, and my mom, who is Igbo, you know, she was giving me gist of what I've never heard before. You know, she was like, you know, back in the day, Idoma, Igala, them, you know, they were enemies with the Igbos. You know, that they did all this and that. And me, I was just like, what does that have to do with me?
Yeah. Sorry to interject, but that was another thing I wanted to bring up.
Yeah.
That, you know, apart from, you know, the older generations feeling like our sacrifice is what has led you to be this free, right? We spoke about this earlier. It's just,
yeah.
I was in basically us being... you know, being like steadfast in what we believed in and in our traditions and our ways is what gave birth to you guys being able to do whatever you guys wanted to do, right? There's that overwhelming feeling that they have. There's also the fact that they witnessed the history happen. You just read about it. And we all know how history is written. It's written by, you know,
the victors. Whoever survived.
You understand? But it's like, I actually know the real history. Right, I remember when whenever I would bring friends over back in high school, right? One of the first questions, you know, my parents would ask is, oh, where's he from?
Exactly.
Where's he from? So they're trying to deduce so much because there's so much history. You know, so they don't want to burden us with the history most times. It's like, you know, but when it does come up, when you interact with that person, it's like, oh yeah, where does he? Because they're trying to decipher something completely different. They know that the books they have printed or whatever is out there in the open, you know, they censored some parts. They didn't mention everything. But they said, no, we saw it happen. You understand? We know everything. So we are in that position to make better decisions on your behalf because we know what they are feeding you is bullshit. But, you know, we don't want to tell you that. It's just like, Tonuwala, we've been losing the war, no? But we'll try and do our best to still steer you in the right direction because we feel like we have a better understanding of history than you guys. There's also that sensation as well. I don't know if you guys...
Well, that's what we're talking about. That's it now. That's how... Look, it wasn't up until I got to a certain age before my dad actually started telling me certain things that happened during the war Do you understand? As in, like,
he had to wait for you to get to the point
where you can really understand what tribalism really is before he starts to tell you certain things. So you can already tell that, look, while they were raising you, these things were there at the back of your mind, but you're too young to understand why I'm behaving this way, why I don't want you to go to that Yoruba man's house, or I don't want you to go to that Hausa man's place. You understand? As an Igbo guy, do you understand? And even what I'm talking about, even in, I'll come to the village where all of us are supposed to be family, and the first thing my dad would tell me is, don't eat in anybody's house. But everybody's your brother and your sister. But don't eat in anybody's house. And you can't understand that.
That was factory settings.
You understand? And you can't understand that. So you're wondering where you keep pointing these people to be my siblings or my loved ones. You understand? Yeah. And every. But you know, at the end of the day, I still can't eat in their house. You understand? And every. And when you try to ask them why, they know it's wrong for them to tell you that that guy is going to poison you. So they're just going to make it, they're just going to give you a generic answer like, no, don't. It's wrong. It's not respectful. You understand? You know, I need to be aware of that. It's not that you can't eat, but you know, I need to know. If they give you anything, bring it back home. But show me first.
Thank you. But because you are because we're more smarter than they think we are.
You know,
that answer is not making any sense. It's not computing. That doesn't make any sense.
But that's also how we learned to just accept.
Which is why we learned to just accept.
Oh, maybe before complain, like accept what they've told you and every you get. So yeah, it's just that. But
I mean,
She was. There's a question she asked before we started recording. I wanted her to drop the question. So please repeat the question. I don't know if I asked it right. Ask the question.
Let's end the podcast with this.
I said, is it gay to receive love from you?
From your woman, is it gay?
Receive love. What is like physical love or this any, is in terms of?
So basically, see what I'm hearing. I'm hearing are you gay if you act like you're whipped? That's what I'm hearing. Like I'm trying to hear.
If your woman is all lovey-dovey.
Yeah, if you keep acting like you're whipped.
So let me clarify that. You know, okay. I can't.
Is it gay to love your girlfriend?
That's why it's still the same thing. Mm. Like receiving love and loving her is the same thing. The truth of the matter is that...
questions didn't come from me.
The question is, are you whipped or are you not whipped?
I don't know. But I would like, you know, my partner to have that kind of reaction to me.
So see, the problem is, people, the concept of love is different for men and women.
It is.
Yes, so that's really it sounds like a different podcast.
I don't even know what's going on. I don't understand the question. What do you mean? Is it gay to love your wife? What the fuck, guys? Why are you in a fucking relationship? What's going on?
Let me just clarify. Yes. This question was not from me. I just picked this up. She was asking a bunch of Gen Z questions earlier.
Millennials didn't ask this kind of questions. It's Gen Z that started this.
Leave us alone, please. Thank you.
Listen, Gen Z's again, they bring color to the world, guys. Come on.
Thank you.
There's too much creativity
now,
happening. There's too
much, unlike you.
I think that's where I love the creativity is insane. Yeah,
it's the height of unproductivity. Gen Z creativity is the height of unproductivity.
But that's the thing. They've been able to make Gen Z millionaires, I'd argue.
Than they were millennial millionaires. Yes, I would argue. Yeah, there are more Gen Zs that we became. It takes time. We built our wealth.
They stumbled onto their wealth.
Okay. We built ours.
Okay, to stumble into wealth or to build it.
Obviously, I'd like to stumble into it too.
I think you should learn a bit.
Understand. I keep saying this. I'm impressed by you people. The fact that they found a way where there was no way.
Yes, we
never finished the sea road.
Yeah,
how these people take build
so
road?
I'm actually,
it's just that you can't change the fact that in as much as they like to claim that they are creating, no, they are just using what we've created and corrupting it. What the fuck is TikTok trends?
That's the height of unproductivity, taking something and turning it into something else. That's creativity.
Yeah, you've done it that Twitch streamers now is one of the
that's creativity. You see something, a concept, and then you change it
in an unproductive manner. Guys, see, I told them now, I'm predicting that, look, once millennials phase out, improvement in technology would cease. Yeah. The Gen Zs are not trying to create anything good anymore.
That's not true.
They are just using what exists.
Okay, okay.
So the new startups are coming
up. But you can't start up.
What are those new startups doing?
No. Wait.
What are they doing?
I don't agree. Because see, you can't really say that. Because let me tell you something about this world. This world is really so saturated. I studied entrepreneurship.
Oh, okay, subject matter.
Everything that happens right now, you know, it already exists. Whatever, any person that is doing anything that something already exists is just innovation. Let me just say, it's not as if they are totally changing. They are just innovating from what already exists. There is nothing that is new. We already have Jumia Foods, but there's Glovo. There's this one. Well, they're all doing the same thing.
It's all about improving experience.
You understand? So. It's just improving the experience. You can't really say that they're not bringing anything to the table.
See.
I feel like Gen Z, they are bringing in some kind of spice.
Spice.
Customer service.
I would accept that spice.
Customer service.
I would accept that spice. They're bringing in spice.
They're bringing that spice.
Spice to what we already need. See, spice shit.
I don't know,
guys. High level productivity, guys, my brother.
I'll stop you right there.
All
right,
guys. No, it's been a lovely episode. I'd love for this conversation to go on,
honestly,
you know, but subscribe to the JG podcast, guys. It's been a lovely conversation. Thank you for joining us.
If you're not,
boo, tomatoes,
generational wars, baby.
If you're actually not on this podcast, guys, there's something wrong with you.
Subscribe,
generational wars.
Subscribe. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram. And we also have a YouTube page
channel
as well. Yeah.
See, when I don't understand it, 10 topics don't drop before this episode. When I don't know what to the Apple for here.
We press record late.
We just press record late.
Are you serious? We're not recording from beginning.
See, don't worry. We are just taking off. All right, guys.